cannot have that guy start to think again. This is going to be an issue.
Oh no. Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. Despite outplaying PSG in nearly every possible way on Wednesday, Bayern Munich failed to outdo their opponents in the one statistic that matters most, goals scored. The Bavarians fell 3-2 to the Parisians at the Allianz Arena, and Hansi Flick has his work cut out for him heading into the second leg of the Champions League quarterfinals on Tuesday without several, and I mean several, first-team regulars. And if that wasn't enough, Flick's youthful lineup gave a late goal earlier today, meaning Bayern drew 1-1 with Union Berlin and allowed RB Leipzig to close the Bundesliga points gap to 5 points. I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
And Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi.
Well, guys, I'm glad to have you on, and quite a bit to talk about today on the Super Bayern podcast, but we'll go ahead and dive right in and start with the big Champions League draw, or the big Champions League match, I guess I should say, that's Bayern Munich losing 2-3 against PSG on Wednesday in the Champions League quarterfinals. Now, I'm sure any neutral would have absolutely loved watching this match because it was just attack after attack. And if you look at the stats, I mean, all statistics would suggest that Bayern Munich should have won this match and should have won it pretty big. Yet they didn't. We lost 3-2 to a PSG side that really should probably feel a bit lucky, maybe, that they walked away with the win. And so there's a lot of questions that we have to address here, but I want to start with, you know, probably the easiest one to ask is this result, or is it down to missing Robert Lewandowski, right? Because the easy claim to make is going to be, well, if Bayern had Robert Lewandowski, this game ends a lot different. Obviously, they put away the chances and we go through. So, Sebastian, do you think that is the case? You know, is this just a result of us not having Lewandowski? Or do you think there's more to it, to this game?
Well, I don't know if I'm the right person to ask this question, actually. Because I guess whatever I'm going to say, people are going to say, okay, he doesn't like Lewandowski anyway. So he's biased here. Yeah, and no surprise, my answer is kind of no, but I hope I will convince, like, 1 or 2% of people listening right now that I'm not completely just biased here. Why do I think it is not just Lewandowski missing? Because if you look at how our offense normally does, all those players should be capable of converting more chances than we did. I don't exactly remember the expected goals, but it was pretty much in our favor. And usually if you get those expected goals, you don't really need Lewandowski. We have enough players who can score goals and who would usually convert enough of those chances. So we would at least have a draw or would win under these circumstances. Also, Lewandowski's replacement, Choupo-Moting, he even scored. So yeah, I think this is too simple. And I even don't know if this is epistemologically valid to ask this question, really, because there's so much luck involved in one game that I don't know how you would even prove that this is kind of the fault of Lewandowski not being there. And also, I would like to add that we have seen a number of games, sometimes even important games, where Lewandowski did not score 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 goals, but where he was pretty much invisible and the rest of the team showed up and we won pretty handily anyway. So with all those points, I really don't think Lewandowski was the problem there. It is always a bit frustrating. It is also kind of a lame excuse, but I think luck played a large role there, because otherwise I was really quite impressed with the team. I was also quite impressed with their mentality, not giving up, not being shaken after those goals, just working, continuing, running, fighting, trying to score. They didn't look like they didn't believe they would win this one. And yeah, so yeah, I can't really blame those guys much. And I also cannot blame the absence of Robert Lewandowski much here.
Yeah, I really agree with you about that last point about the mentality of this team. And especially, it was such a weird match. Because if you take away, and I know that you play the game to score the goals, so this is a weird conversation now, but if you do take away the goals, Bayern were easily the dominant team, easily the better team throughout. And you talked about expected goals, and the expected goal statistics back that up as well. I mean, Bayern had an expected goals 4.14, and for PSG, it was only 1.54. And I didn't look into this, but this has got to be one of like maybe three or four times this season Bayern hasn't outperformed their expected goals. And so it was really kind of an anomaly there. But it is good to hear from you being on, you know, one side of this, the Lewandowski spectrum. And I'm glad we have Garrett on today, because Garrett, I want to hear your thoughts on this as well, coming from, you know, the complete opposite end of the Lewandowski spectrum here.
I'm actually pretty in line with Sebastian, to be quite honest. I think that when you outshoot your opponent 31-5 or whatever it was, you have to expect that you're going to come away with, at bare minimum, a draw, right? And even that would be kind of a disappointing outcome if you're just dominating in terms of possession and shots. And I think Thomas Müller said it after the game that, like, if they would have put away their chances, it would have been, you know, 7-3 or 6-3 instead of, you know, 3-2. And I think that there's some validity to that. And I think that there's a lot of confidence that Bayern can take away from that going into that second leg. But I think it is, to Sebastian's point, it is a little bit overstating it to think that just having Robert Lewandowski there would have resulted in a much better outcome. I mean, I think you still put go down three away goals to PSG because of pretty big mistakes, and that's not something that we haven't seen throughout the rest of the season and even into last season. Going into the Champions League final, that was a big discussion, was how potentially shaky this Bayern back line was. And fortunately, it worked out in our favor last season, and it's worked out in our favor for the most part all season long. But it's just not, I just don't think that it's as simple as saying that if Robert Lewandowski's there, we're going to score enough goals to win that match and be in really good shape going into the second leg. Keylor Navas is always outstanding in the Champions League, and so that plays a factor. You know, if Neuer makes a better play on that first Kylian Mbappe goal, then they're not down 1-0, and that changes the match. Sula doesn't, you know, switch off and completely lose track of, you know, where he is. And I do understand that, like, on that goal, Neymar made a play that not a lot of people either can or would make. But the fact is that there's a reason that most people wouldn't make that play, make that decision, is because normally defenders are
right
well aware of what you're doing. So there's just so many other things that are issues with what Bayern did in that first leg, and so can't put it down to just Lewandowski. Certainly he would have helped. It might have even resulted in, like I said, a victory. But three away goals is putting yourself in a bad position, whether you come away with a win in that match or not. Unless you score seven goals or so. So, mm-hmm. So I don't think that Bayern need to be hanging their hat on mm-hmm. if we just had Lewandowski.
Yeah, I'm kind of with both y'all as well. I really like, Sebastian, that you brought up Erik-Maxim Choupo-Moting, because I think he kind of, you know, way overperformed what I was expecting out of him. I don't think anybody would have thought that he would play a relatively solid game, which he did, that he would get a goal, which, you know, the two goals we did get are going to end up being really important if Bayern had to turn this around. So really no complaints with him at all. I do think things would have been at least a little bit different if we had Robert Lewandowski. You know, it's hard to look at the stats and see that we were able to pull off 31 shots and not just imagine, man, if we had Lewandowski in there, that we would have got some more goals. But you know, yeah, like you said, Garrett, looking at the other end, Paris's three goals, the first one, Kylian Mbappe is on the right side. Neymar does make a good pass, but it's, you know, poor defending leading up to it. And then, you hate to say it, but some terrible goalkeeping from Manuel Neuer to let that shot in. It's 1-0. Neymar makes a great, great pass on the second. I don't want to take anything away from you know, the pass and the thought there. But like you said, if you watch that replay and watch Niklas Süle running out, he's looking at the grass. He's not even looking at a man around him, not looking at the ball. He's literally looking at the grass, jogging forward, not even, you know, communicating with his teammates. And the whole entire defensive line gets caught out, just basically asleep. Marquinhos has the easiest finish in the world. It says a lot that a center back is putting that away. And then the third goal, Mbappe storming down the left. Who would have thought Kylian Mbappe is one of the best, you know, the fastest players and the best in a one-on-one situation? Maybe we should do something about that. And of course, Jerome Boateng, too scared to make a tackle, too scared to mess up, blocks Manuel Neuer's line of sight. Mbappe makes a great shot and it goes in. But in a lot of ways, all three of those goals, you can kind of point to some individual mistakes that were made. And so I guess my question, Sebastian, is, you know, should we just write those off as individual defensive mistakes, or is there more of a systemic issue going on here that really has to be addressed?
Well, I guess there is a systemic issue, kind of. I mean, we have been talking about this. I feel we don't have a backline, really. We don't know who our backline is going to be. This is always changing. People get injured. Then when there kind of is a starting back line that we have, yeah, they don't play well. Nobody's really happy with that. Then there are changes again. Ideally, we would know who our starters are on the back line, and we would at least be, well, kind of confident about them. But I cannot really see that right now. This, of course, is a problem. I would not say that our defense or our back line is as bad as it looked on that evening. But yeah, having a backline that, well, hasn't played together enough, it just hasn't even practiced together enough, I would say, who has not been in top form, to say the least, over months and months, that just makes it more likely that these mistakes are going to happen and that nobody's going to be there to cover for that. So I would say it is definitely bad luck to an extent. It is definitely singular mistakes to an extent, but yeah, they don't completely come out of nowhere. And I think it will be hard to fix those for the upcoming match, and hopefully for the upcoming matches in the Champions League. I would hope this is the problem here, because yeah, if we're going to get two goals from the opposition again in the next match, I mean, then we're going to need five goals, right? We're going to need four goals. And yeah, this is going to be tough, because yeah, it's not going to be so hard to, I mean, even starting the match, we're going to need at least two goals. And this is just easy to defend, kind of, when you know that the other team needs those goals. And yeah, this is just not going to make anything any easier, of course, especially with Lewandowski gone, especially with a lot of question marks behind a lot of those players we would probably like to see starting in the other game against PSG. So yeah, this is just, yeah, well, not particularly great. I don't see that how we would be fixing that backline, and I don't think, even if we fix that backline, how we would just easily, handily beat them.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of bringing up the question that has to be addressed. And I mean, we might as well go ahead and talk about it a little bit, because the question is, when we go to Paris on Tuesday, how do we prevent the same thing from happening? Like, you know, what sort of changes need to be made to the lineup? What sort of shifts to the tactical approach does Hansi Flick have to make in order to keep things from happening? I do think one of those, and one thing I was disappointed about on Wednesday, was not seeing Alphonso Davies being in the starting lineup. And so I think a big fix is getting him in. When you're facing Kylian Mbappe, arguably alongside Alphonso Davies, one of the fastest players in all of Europe, it doesn't make any sense to not have Davies in the starting lineup. I get that the back line that we saw played decently in the game before it, but when you have a player like Alphonso Davies who has proven that he can, you know, play with the best at the top level, I would argue the best left back in all the world, there's really no reason to keep him on the bench. And you saw our defensive, I guess the way our defense played, I should say, was a lot more solid once Alphonso Davies came on and we shifted Lucas Hernandez back to center back, even moving David Alaba up to midfield. And so I think a big fix, or part of the big fix, is going to be let's see Alphonso Davies from the start. Let's put our best players at each position on the field. And I think that's getting Alphonso Davies into left back. But Garrett, I'm wondering what you think are, you know, some other potential fixes to the issues that we've been seeing.
I have no idea. I think we talked about this a little bit off pod about how, like, it seems like Bayern have a lot of attack minded defensemen, and that's a good thing. Like, we like that style of play. It I think it fits the Bayern mentality. And I think if we had to err one way or the other, that's the way that I would rather err. But we don't have a guy that you look at and you say, this guy I know we can count on. If everything else is going bad in that back line, this is the guy that I feel good about defensively. And I think when he's at his best, Nicolas Sulla can be that guy, where he's got the combination of smarts and speed and physicality to really lock down defensively. But he hasn't been at his best for a little while now. It seems like he's struggled to, I think, for one thing, I mean, he's been playing left back, and if he's not, or not left back, right back. And if he's not playing right back, then he's playing, you know, center back every once in a while. Boateng has seemed to have the intelligence of positionally where to be defensively, but even he's been struggling. And I think that's kind of been a factor of, from his age and just kind of catching up to him. So there's really not a whole lot you can do other than, kind of like what you said, put Alphonso Davies in at left back, give yourself more speed to make up for the mistakes of you know, pushing that high line too high, and I guess, you know, maybe you just tell this back line that, you know, you don't stop being aggressive, you don't stop being attack minded. But maybe you dial that back a notch just simply because you're going up against one of the fastest, you know, most dangerous front mm-hmm. lines that you're going to play against in all of Europe and all the world. So just changing that mentality of, you know, if you're a little late getting into the attack, we're okay with that. We just don't want any more mistakes like we saw in those first two goals. And to be honest with you, I can't even remember the third one, so that might have been a mistake too. But it just seems like don't forget who you're playing. Like, obviously you have to play your game, and you don't want to change the way that you play just because of who's in front of you, but give the respect a little bit to PSG that they do have those attackers that can make you pay on five shots. And that's all we can do at this point. You hope going forward, Upamecano, or, you know, somebody else that they might bring in, can kind of help fix what ails this back line. But it's just, I don't know that you can do anything other than change the mentality and you could change the back line. I just feel in terms of like having them play a lower line, but I feel like that just changes who Bayern is mm-hmm. as a club. And so I don't want them to do that either. So it is a conundrum, but I do think starting Davies and getting that speed on the wings and in the back there, it would be a big help first of all.
Yeah, Sebastian, you're the kind of the one who brought up this conversation, so I'd be interested in hearing what you think as well, because obviously it's not as easy as, you know, just throwing out some ideas and letting them stick, or else, you know, this would have been fixed a long time ago. And like Garrett said, we don't need to change the way we play because, or not, you know, completely overhaul the way we play because it has, for the most part, been successful. So what do you think?
Yeah, the issue is it's pretty clear that you would want to change something about the back line. That is simple and should be simple enough, you would think. But then you look what we have and our situation is, and then you see that it's probably not simple at all. Because when you look at it, it is not quite clear if Lucas Hernandez is even going to be able to play. Süle is pretty certainly not going to be able to play, I think. And then you don't really, at least I don't really want to rely on Boateng and Alaba again, because these are kind of the worst offenders, and I just cannot imagine that the situation with Boateng is going to improve at all after the situation with Salihamidzic, after this announcement that he's not going to be on the squad after this season. Because I think we have all kind of agreed that these contract things haven't had a good impact on anyone recently, Boateng definitely being one of them. So what are the options? You can say, okay, let's go with Alaba and Boateng because they have probably played the most. And then you can say, okay, let's stick Davies on the left side. That's probably a good improvement. I would totally agree. But that's about it because, yeah, I mean, you could, of course, play a young guy. You could say, okay, maybe this is the game we finally want to play Tanguy Nianzou. But is this really the game you want to start the guy after he like played one game now? Probably not. But it's not like we have a whole lot of options. You could put Javi Martinez in the back line maybe, but he's not exactly the quickest guy there is, neither in terms of high speed or top speed, nor in terms of getting up to speed quickly. So, yeah, it's really a bit frustrating because there are just not many options for the back line. You could also not put Pavard in the middle because who are you going to put on the right side then? So, yeah, this is the issue, right? You would want to fix something there, but the only thing you can really do is maybe put Davies on the left. I would, I think, sympathize with having Hernandez as a center back, if he's able to play. That's a big if, though. Maybe I would do that. But yeah, is that enough? I don't know. I really don't know. Because I would blame the back line mostly for those mistakes. Of course, one was a Neuer mistake, but I think that's where the issue lies in terms of defense. Because I obviously wouldn't blame Kimmich, who was probably our best player in that game. I would also not really blame Goretzka. I would not really blame the offense much on that. So, yeah, what you going to do? Sadly, not very much.
Yeah, I guess it is kind of, and Garrett hit on this, it's not really an issue that we can address in the coming days. It is very much pointing to the fact that we do need somebody coming in like they have Upamecano, who's coming in the summer, and potentially even more moves being made this summer. Hansi Flick, though, has, if anyone does, a pretty good track record of coming up with ideas when Bayern need them the most. And I'm just hoping that we can expect that again on Tuesday, and really holding to the fact that if we can cut out just single individual mistakes, Bayern really should win this game. We beat PSG in the final. This is a weaker side that we're facing, and so it should be done. One more question, though, about the lineup, because it's looking unlikely that Leon Goretzka is going to be fit again in time for the game on Tuesday. In fact, Hansi Flick mentioned that he's more hopeful that we'll actually see Lucas Hernandez than he is that we'll be seeing Leon Goretzka. And so there's another sort of tactical issue that, you know, that has to be addressed here. Now, what do we do? What does Hansi Flick do if Leon Goretzka isn't fit for the game on Tuesday? And Garrett, Goretzka kind of is your guy. So what do you think? What is Hansi Flick's move here?
I think that you could play Alaba in midfield. He seemed to have played his best against PSG once he got switched into midfield. And that's his natural position. And that might be the option that I kind of lean towards. Just because it wouldn't force you to have to change your style of play so much, that you're kind of fighting against yourself as well. But, I guess the other option would be to move to more of a, 4-1-4-1 type formation and, have Kimmich play as, the lone six. Again, not necessarily ideal, but what part of this right now is ideal? We're down, six or I think four starters and I guess granted some of those guys might be back, but there's just, you're limited on your options. And so I guess to me, I would put Alaba in midfield and have him play alongside Kimmich, rather than have Kimmich have to play that defensive midfield role all by himself. Not because he can't do it, but just because I think that we need to allow him the space to be able to get forward a little bit if he wants to as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably what I would do. I don't even know what other central midfield options we have, to be quite honest.
Well, there really isn't. But even if if you move Alaba to midfield, I guess now the question is Lucas Hernandez going to be fit in time to play? Because I'm assuming that would mean you're thinking Davies, Hernandez, Boateng, because Sula is pretty much confirmed out, I believe, and then so Boateng and then Pavard at right back. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I completely forgot about Hernandez and Sula being hurt though too. Right. Yeah. So I don't I mean you could play, we could just switch it all up.
Yeah, but I guess then
the play the nine and
But like on the flip side, like you said, if we put Alaba in defense, okay, well now who's going into midfield? I mean, Mark Roca has been injured for so long, Tolisso has been injured for so long, he's obviously not getting in. I mean, Jamal Musiala.
Into today's match, Dantas played well, but I wouldn't
trust
him to play against PSG,
So
it's like we have all these options. I guess you would almost have to, it seems like maybe the only option then to go to a 4-1-4-1 sort of formation, put Musiala up top or up in the middle next to Müller.
Right.
And Kimmich back in the six, that would seem to be the only logical option at this point. I don't know if Sebastian, you have any other things up your sleeve. We don't have Tim here to give us the real off the wall creative solutions, but
it is really tough because I'm kind of thinking about maybe I would actually start Martinez in the back line. Is kind of what I'm thinking. But then he's not going to be good if he's going to be our left center back. So he's going to be our left center back. This is one big problem. But if Alaba is going to be our left center back, you're really kind of out of options in midfield. Because, again, maybe it's Martinez, but I'm not exactly happy with that. Because the speed is just an issue here, right? This is not just any one team, but this is a team that's kind of known for exploiting their speed and just beating you with being so quick. And this is just not going to be the perfect game for Javi Martinez. This is kind of the problem. But what's the solution here? What is the solution? Maybe I would not do that, but I kind of like the idea of playing Nianzu. Because it's against his old club, he knows those guys very well. But I think it is just a bit too early.
Yeah, and he wasn't great today, to be honest.
Yeah, he wasn't great today either. So if he had like five more games or something like that, I would say maybe he's the guy. But I'm also not quite at the point where I would say, okay, I would be happy with that. So I think if you have to have Alaba in the back line, because maybe Hernandez is not going to be able to play, maybe you would actually have to go with Dantas. But wow, this is also, I mean, imagine you are that guy, and now you're going to have to play in this important game. And also, he didn't quite play defensive midfield. I mean, he's like a central midfielder who can also kind of play a number six. Are you really going to be playing with either Dantas or Müller as your second most defensive midfielder? Oh man,
right,
that's a huge problem, because the parts just don't really fit together right now. However you're going to look at this, however you're going to turn this, it's just not going to be enough. There's going to be some awful kind of decision somewhere, and I really cannot quite make up my mind what the least bad one is, really. So I guess I'm keeping my fingers crossed that Lucas Hernandez can play.
Yep.
Because this is really the one thing that would make me say, okay, we can probably deal with this. For every position, we have someone I can kind of trust. Because I'm more happy with Alaba in midfield than in the back line. I'm more happy with Hernandez in the back line than having Alaba there. So this kind of things start to kind of fall into place that way. Yeah, maybe, I don't know. I'm going back and forth on this. I've been going back and forth on this all day. So maybe you're actually going to have Müller and Musiala next to Kimmich, but it's also really not great. Right. Because Musiala definitely needs minutes. We're going to have to use him in this match. I think that could be great, but yeah, he's also not a defensive midfielder, not at all. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think you really kind of hit the nail on the head. The only thing we can do is hope beyond hope that Lucas Hernandez is fit for this game, because if we have Alaba and Boateng as our back line, as our two center backs heading into this match, I'm not going to be confident at all. And we've talked about this before. That's two defenders, two center backs who have shown time and time again that they are scared to make a tackle in a one-on-one. And we can get away with that against a lot of teams, but when we're going up against Neymar and Kylian Mbappe, you absolutely cannot have guys who are afraid to make a tackle in a one-on-one. That's just going to lead to goals on top of goals on top of goals. And we already saw that in the game on Wednesday. Lucas Hernandez is on the entirely opposite side of the spectrum. Not at all afraid to make a tackle, not afraid to get in there. And if he's got Alphonso Davies beside him especially, there's like that sort of safety net built in to where he can play a little bit more aggressive. And so, yeah, I mean, really, it's just hope that Lucas Hernandez is fit for the game on Tuesday, because any somewhat decent solution requires him getting into this back line. We've talked about Jamal Musiala for a bit, so I do think this is kind of a good transition point to briefly talk about the game that took place today. That was really just a very interesting game from the perspective of Bayern fans. It was a bit of a disappointing result, drawing 1-1 against Union Berlin, but I guess it wasn't entirely surprising when you look at the lineup that was fielded today, and you consider that Bayern were without, you know, 8, 9, almost 10 first team players. But the main talking point has got to be that youthful lineup that Hansi Flick rolled out. So Jamal Musiala was not even arguably, he was the man of the match for Bayern today. He scored a great goal, but even beyond that, he had a fantastic game. But Garrett, other than Musiala, did anyone really stand out for you today? Specifically speaking from the young guys, I should say.
No.
Okay.
The only I'd say of the main. So Musiala looked phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
As far as just his age, his poise, his ability to maneuver in tight spaces and all those things. I thought Dantas looked fine. Left back, I'm blanking on the name.
Stanisic?
Yes, I thought he was fine. Not so great on the goal. But he was fine overall. And Nianzou looked like he had been out for
absolutely
long stretches of time. with leg injuries. So I, those were the main things. Christopher Scott didn't do anything of note really either way, except have your last name.
Yeah, shame.
So, yeah, but you know, there's still hope. It's still early in his Bayern career, but yeah, I it was good just overall to see them play, the way that they played as a unit, against a better than people think side, you know, in Union Berlin. They're mid table. But I think we constantly think of them as like, you know, lower half of the table, or lower third or whatever. So I thought it was telling that even with all the injuries and even with, you know, throwing guys in there that had not played hardly either hardly any or at all. And they were the aggressors and really, you know, up until, you know, giving up a goal with, I think, 5 minutes left, in regulation or before stoppage time, you know, the commentators were talking about how, you know, how great a job Berlin was doing against, you know, the wearing down, you know, holding their own against Bayern. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking about Bayern as though all the same guys were in. And I thought that speaks volumes, in and of itself, even if you take away the individual efforts of each one of them. I thought it was good that they were able to play as well as they did overall for so long. I think it did end up hurting us, obviously, because we concede so late and drop points against a team that should have beaten. But just like the Champions League match, there's a lot of positives to take away, but overall you have to be unhappy because it's drop points.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you there. Sebastian, what about you? Any of the youth guys really stand out to you today?
Well, generally I can say I was really happy to see a lot of young guys. Maybe it was a bit over the top this time, but of course this is due to these circumstances. Of course, for me, there's a pretty clear order of how well these guys played for me. Musiala, definitely the best of those guys. You would expect that, of course. He has seen the most minutes in the first team by far, so no surprise there. Number two of those definitely is Dantas. Dantas looked pretty good, I would say. I would have been more happy, actually, if he had played defensive midfield and had played this well, because this is kind of more what we need. But yeah, anyway, pretty happy with that. I hope this is an argument for Hansi Flick that, well, kind of this is support for Hansi Flick because he probably wants to keep him, and some other people at the club probably don't. Then number three for me is Stanišić, because he was fine, I would say, and fine is pretty good in a tough Bundesliga match for a guy who's playing his first minutes in a defense that hasn't looked great without him. So pretty happy with that. Totally agree on Scott. Like, not a factor, not much positive, not much negative, which is kind of par for the course for his first game. So kind of fine with that. Yeah, Nianzu didn't look great. He was probably the worst of them. But yeah, he's the youngest. He has been out for forever. So this is not too bad. I mean, of course it would have been great if he would have been brilliant today, but yeah, that's just not likely to happen. And I would not say that this is any negative thing for the future for him. It is just what it is. These things can happen, and I'm sure next time he's going to look better. And yeah, I just would like to see more of those guys more regularly, mm-hmm. not like dump five of them in there one day, but maybe give them some minutes before. Maybe you don't have as many injuries then. I don't know.
Right.
Could be the case. And kind of this is a win-win situation from my perspective. So
yeah,
trust them more.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I pretty much agree 100%. let's kind of wrap up this episode talking about, you know, one more thing. And we've talked about him a little bit, but that's Jamal Musiala. I guess the question is, what role should he be playing, not just going forward, but specifically in Tuesday's game against PSG, right? And here's why I want to bring that up, because Kingsley Coman, he's been absolutely fantastic this season, but the dude looks exhausted. I mean, you could see it today. You know, he got slightly injured, and, you know, Hansi Flick said he was always going to come off at halftime anyway to try and split the playing time between him and Leroy Sané. But, you know, even against PSG last week, Coman was clearly doing his best, but he looked just exhausted. And so I kind of think, especially again after the way Jamal Musiala played today, and because of his playing style, he's so, you know, fantastic in tight spaces. He can dribble through defenders in tight spaces probably better than anyone else on the team anyway. I kind of hope to see him starting on the left against PSG with Leroy Sané, who I think actually had a really good game against Union Berlin today, with Leroy Sané playing on the right, and then bringing in Kingsley Coman late in the game to sort of add that spark that we need to take us to the next level if we're at a point where that needs to be done. And so I guess my question is, you know, am I crazy for putting that forward, crazy for saying that 18-year-old Jamal Musiala should be starting the game, that I'm confident with him starting the game against PSG on Tuesday in place of Kingsley Coman? Am I crazy for saying that, or do you guys agree with me on that one? We'll start with you, Garrett.
I don't think it's crazy. I think I don't know that you could go wrong either way, to be quite honest, because I think I really see the value of, like, you got to deal with Musiala for, you know, 60 or 70 minutes, and then all of a sudden here comes Kingsley Coman. That's not fun for tired legs to deal with, clearly. And so, like, that would be that's a plus in that regard. But I also think that having to go the other way, and instead, you know, you may not be dealing with the same amount of pace, but now all of a sudden you got to deal with Musiala is just as shifty,
mm-hmm.
in a much taller, stringier package maybe, but he's just as shifty as Coman is. And so I think that either one would be fine. I don't know that we're gonna have that option though, given that what, you know, we talked about with, you know, replacing Goretzka, you know, we might have to push Musiala inside and have him playing kind of as a attacking midfielder with Thomas Müller, and then you just kind of have to figure in the other wings, figure that situation out too. So you're not crazy. I'm just not sure we're going to get that option.
Right. Sebastian, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it is hard to say, because there might be a need to put him somewhere where we wouldn't want to put him if we had the choice. We talked about that. I think it's not very outlandish to assume that Thomas Müller might again be a central midfielder. And then you might put Musiala on the 10 anyway, I suppose. I don't know. But I definitely think, nothing can be called crazy here at all. He has been playing so well recently, I think. And he could just be the guy to break their defense, because, of course, they can just play very defensively in a game like this, where they scored 3 goals on us at our stadium. So, we could use someone who can work with tight spaces. So the real question is, do we need that more at the beginning, or do we imagine that the game is going to develop in a way where this is going to be even more valuable towards the end, when we can bring him in there, when he's still fresh and the other guys are not? So this is just the question, really. I think you also, part of this question could be, what's the likelihood of Serge Gnabry being able to play? I think we don't quite know that at all.
I thought it was confirmed he wouldn't be able to make it back, really, for this one, because of because it was COVID, so I thought the timeline was already pretty solidified.
Okay, so, all right, maybe you're right there. I didn't get that memo, I suppose. But if you say that, you're probably right. Then we have even fewer options there. I think I like the idea of Musiala starting. I think maybe this is the right time. I don't think of him anymore as that young guy with a huge lot of talent, but now he's kind of arrived at being a very important player already. And I really don't see why you wouldn't start him. I think maybe this is the slightly better combination. And yeah, it's probably going to be the left side then, if Thomas Müller is playing on the 10 and there are no other unforeseen issues.
Right.
You have to mix everything up again. I think I would start him on the left.
Yeah, I was just about to say this whole conversation is going to prove futile when tomorrow Kingsley Coman or Leroy Sané or maybe even both, you know, pull up injured in practice or something crazy like that, which wouldn't be too out of the ordinary for the way things are going for Bayern Munich right now.
They might be calling one of us.
Yeah, that's why. That's actually, listen, that's why Tim couldn't make it to the podcast today. He'll be lining up on the left for Bayern Munich against PSG on Tuesday, so be on the lookout for that.
He did say last podcast that if they're looking for someone who can just help team morale, he's available and for much cheaper than Choupo-Moting. So,
well, we can't speak on that too much, so we'll just. I'll have to wait and see on Tuesday, but that is all the time that we have for this episode. If you've enjoyed listening, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done so already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review. We would greatly appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbayernpod@gmail.com, or you can just follow us on Twitter @superbayernpod and get in touch with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.